Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests like Bobby Marks and Albert Breer, who joined us in the first hour, appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Thanks to those guys for stopping by. If you missed them, subscribe to the podcast. You can listen to that conversation. Great stuff and great insight from both guys, as always. So, Greg Bergman, I want to ask you real quick before I get into this Raider thing, and I also want to talk about something that I'm dealing with personally that I feel like I'm not alone on. But why do you hate Fast Track?
Well, all right, you're just going to put me on the spot like that. Okay, great.
Yeah, Fast Track, for those that don't know, Fast Track is gone. I heard Mason in Ireland. I was in the car saying that it was over, that they're never going to do Fast Track again, that, well, that the data says that Fast Track is not resonating anymore and that they're tabling it for now at the behest of management. Since you're corporate Greg, why do you hate Fast Track?
So it's not so much about hating Fast Track, is that I think they were all right in the things that they were saying. We decided as a group that it was time for it to go. And the only thing I really want to say is just ask them how hard they fought to try and keep it.
Oh, what?
That's all I'm saying. That's
you're
as
saying
far
that,
as I'm going to go there.
Mason,
and by the way, it will happen.
Didn't put up a fight?
Just ask them. They can decide. They can say what they want to say about that. But
wow.
Just ask them how hard they fought.
Wow. Wow.
By the way, there will be Fast Track this week. It's when Mason comes back from vacation next week.
Now, you got like a bunch of tweets, right? People were really mad at you.
I mean, I can't read some of them because the amount of cursing.
The language.
The language gets to your level, George, off the air.
Oh, I was going to say, my language on the air is immaculate. What are you talking about?
Right, no, off the air. I think I can read this one. Greg, did you seriously cancel Fast Track? Because, by the way, I have the unilateral power to do this. Greg, did you seriously cancel Fast Track? No, not unilateral. No, this is not totally my choice. Greg, did you seriously cancel Fast Track without conferring with Mason John? That's literally the only good part of the show. Well, first of all, okay, you're saying that that's the only good part of the show, so that's a problem in itself.
Wow. Yeah, that's not actually complimentary either, to be honest with you.
No, clearly just because you lucked into a producer role doesn't mean you can run a station.
I mean, you did kind of luck into a producer role. He's not wrong about that.
I mean, how did I luck into a producer role?
I don't know. You know, life is all about luck, you know, and timing.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. I lucked into a producer role. Then I lucked into becoming management after that. And I lucked into.
No, I would say you weaseled your way into the management position. That's probably a better way to describe it.
I mean, fair.
Yeah. It's fine. Whoever becomes management weasels their way in. It's not like it's done like. I mean, it could be lucky, but it could be both. I would just say you're all corporate stealing weasels. That's what you are.
And you were one of us at one point. You're not anymore, but you were at one point.
Oh, I was for like 11 months, and it was basically they begged me to do it. And I was also still doing a show at the time.
Right. Well, okay. Well, I've been doing it for 6 months. And
it wasn't here, so anyway. But anyway, yes.
Right.
And by the way, I would never do it again because you're all just corporate time-stealing weasels.
Thanks, George. I would do it. I would leave everything and continue just doing the management part.
Yeah. Interesting. So, all right. So you hate Fast Track. All right, cool.
Not at all.
So here's something I wanted to talk about before I get to the Raiders. And I wanted to kind of open it up to the audience here real quick. So obviously, you know how I feel if you listen to this show about the protests. And you know how I feel about the reasoning behind it. I have been very strong and strident about we need to help our African-American brothers and sisters. We do. We do. And it's you. It's me. We have to be in this together, as cliche as that sounds. We need to help each other. We need to help everyone rise together, right? In the sense of, you know, we can't just leave people behind, you know, like groups of people, ethnicities of people. And look, man, this country has a very ugly history. And it's time we right some of the wrongs. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with that, right? But what happens is that like anything, like we've talked about with Colin Kaepernick and his situation, it was never about the flag. It was never about the military. And on the contrary, you know, he chose to listen to Nate Boyer, former NFL player, who told him to kneel for a reason, right? Because it's what they did to salute the fallen in the military, and he's a Green Beret. So what's happened here is the messaging has gotten hijacked. And by the way, sometimes the messaging in general in some of these social issues is also not ideal, okay? For example, there is a movement at the moment called Defund the Police. If you actually read what the movement is about, it's not about defunding the police in the literal sense. It's about taking some of that money that you use toward the police to use it towards other things that police shouldn't be doing. For example, cops, as I've talked about, have a really tough job, okay? And I'm not denying that. It doesn't change that we've seen some pretty horrific stuff, not just recently, but over time. And my whole thing on that has always been, don't let other people write your narrative, right? If you're a cop, in the military, there's see something, say something. Why is that not the case with police? And that's kind of been my plea. Like, don't let other people write the narrative about you. There are a lot of cops who will run into like a firefighter, run into a burning building, will get in the line of fire. There are a lot of cops that do the right thing. However, clearly there are some that don't. So, like, the phrasing, the messaging, defund the police, isn't even accurate in what they're trying to portray. However, what I would say is this. Everything needs reform because cops shouldn't be therapists either. And there should be, like, for example, I know cops who have had to deal with people who have mental health issues, right? Man, that's not part of the job description for a cop, okay? So why not allocate some funds in every major city for help with mental health patients? So that way, the police are focusing on what police should be doing, which is not play psychologist. And by the way, I would imagine a cop listening is probably like, yeah, I wouldn't want to do that either. I wouldn't want to play psychologist. It's not part of my job description. So here's the thing. My point has always been, being anti-police brutality doesn't mean you're anti-police. So I've told you, even as recent as last week, that I believe that some of my positions may have cost me my friendships in some cases. And that's sad. It is sad. I don't want that to be the case. I am, if you've listened to me over time now, a very proud person, but I'm also a common sense person, right? Like, I don't let my pride get in the way of changing the way I think. If I'm wrong about something, you know what I mean? Like, real wrong, I'm going to come out and say, yeah, I was real wrong about that. And I probably should look at it a little differently. And I think that we're running into these situations, much like I was talking about with the NFL earlier, right? Where essentially the NFL created their own issue. They realized that the data on social media told them that the tweets from the White House were having very little effect on the way people were discussing football. Their biggest problem was that the owners reacting to the White House created their issue. And what I said was, good for Roger Goodell, even though better late than never, come aboard. Like, we need to have as many people on the same side as possible here. Because life should be about common sense. It should be about respecting people, not being stubborn. And again, hopefully that leads to evolution. But I'll tell you this. You know, I have a childhood friend, someone I've known all my life, who won't return my texts, won't return my calls, because their interpretation of what I'm saying is that I'm anti-police, not that I'm anti-police brutality. And I can understand that this is a sensitive issue. And I bet you I'm not the only one. Someone listening right now is probably going through some similar stuff, because we all have people in our family in some semblance of law enforcement or the military who have dealt with these issues that we've just discussed, whether it was the Colin Kaepernick stuff with the flag and that getting hijacked, or the message being hijacked here. Just because you don't want law enforcement to brutalize people doesn't mean you're anti-law enforcement. Again, it's one of the toughest bleeping jobs you can have. It's not one that I would do. And I feel like I want to impact my community. But I think that I've chosen a different path to impact my communities. This is the platform. I choose to speak on it. I try my best to create an environment where you and I can interact, where the crew and I can interact. And we may not all agree on stuff, but I'd like to at least lead a possibility of a conversation. And what I'm dealing with personally in my life right now is that I'm not able to actually have the conversation because feelings have been hurt over what I think is just common sense. And I'm not changing my position on that. So I don't know how long it's going to be till I talk to this person again. And, you know, maybe cooler heads will prevail, but I don't know that. And honestly, it bothers me because it's like we've been friends for our entire lives, basically. We're practically family. And I understand that you're a cop and I understand it's tough. But look, man, don't let other people write your narrative. I wouldn't let that. If all of a sudden... And by the way, again, I'm not equating this. This isn't apples to apples, but let's just use this random example, right? If all of a sudden there was this barrage on talk show hosts because talk show hosts were out there saying crazy bleep, I wouldn't just defend blindly every talk show host. As a matter of fact, I sat here last week telling you that I think the media sensationalizes a lot of this stuff. That I've said 95% of these protests have been peaceful. And I blame CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, your local news, for constantly running the looting and the violence from the protesters, that is. Because it's a very small percentage. It's not indicative of what's actually happening on the streets. And yes, I know that sometimes the media is in the business of capturing people's eyeballs and making sure they watch the television. But you know what also captures people's eyeballs? Inspiration and showing the unity all over the country, all over the world. That's important too. So I'm not against critiquing my own brethren. I do it plenty. And that's all I would say. But I would imagine there are people within the audience who are dealing with similar stuff, who have family and friends who are cops, who are just not hearing what you're saying right now. And they're getting a little defensive. And I kind of understand it, but man, you would think that real relationships would be something that would be able to bridge that gap. Laura, I would imagine, you know, that you either have that, some of that stuff maybe directly, maybe you know some people that are dealing with that stuff. Because I do think it's something we don't talk about enough, about the fact that there are different points of view here. And I think that they're entrenched. And the problem is going to be, how do we kind of build those bridges?
Yeah, I'm actually having a very similar situation to you. I have a friend that's in the military and I posted something on Instagram, nothing bad, just, you know, a thought or whatever. And they were like blocked. They literally just text me blocked. And I'm like, are you serious? We've known each other for about 10 years. I didn't say anything negative. I just voiced an opinion. That's my opinion. And you know, I'm a very vocal person. So I don't understand why that message came to be. And I haven't had any contact with this person because I can't. Literally got blocked on every social media platform and on text. And then I also have a friend who's a cop in Las Vegas, but he actually deleted all his social media. He's like, I'm getting threats from friends. So he's still talking to me on text, but he's going through something a little bit different. He's getting attacked for being a police officer. So he's just like, I'm trying to have these conversations, but no one's willing to have it with me.
Yeah, it's a little sad, I got to be honest. And it has affected me, like, over the weekend. Like, I'm like, I can't believe this person and I have literally grown up together. and we can't have a common sense conversation on where we are mm-hmm. and at least find some sort of way to, even if it's, look, bro, I'm not feeling it on both ends, and just, but leave it at that and say, okay, well, at least we had the conversation and mm-hmm. we can move forward in whatever way we're going to move forward. Whether that's less of a conversation about this particular issue or not talking at all moving forward, but at least having the initial conversation and figuring it out. And I think that there are a lot of families and people out there affected. I would love to hear some of that stuff. If maybe I don't think you and I are alone on this, Laura. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. I actually got a great email last week from a police officer who listens to the show down in Orange County. And I don't want to reveal his name, but he actually suggested things about like how the not only the police, but the county and the different cities can help in this situation, which includes the help of the police officers. And I wish that there were more people like that, at least willing to offer up suggestions.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, I think that once we start being able to have that dialogue, like you're saying, and really being open to listening to each other, that's how we're going to be able to move forward with all these issues and actually create good change.
Yeah, sure. For sure. No doubt about it. Greg, I don't know if you have any of these issues in your immediate circle, but I think that there are I just wanted to talk about it because I'm dealing with it. And I'm like, yo, there's no way I'm the only person that is in a situation like this.
No, I think everybody is in a little bit of a situation like this. I have friends, I have family members that I'm having some slight issues with, but it's more so that we're just kind of, we talk about it and then it's very below the surface level type stuff, just because we both know that if we really start talking about it, it's going to just blow up into a much bigger thing and we don't want to lose the relationship. So,
right. But I do think it's important to have that conversation, whatever that leads to, you try not to escalate it clearly, but I think whatever that leads to, I think it's just a healthy thing to do. Now we have a police officer on the line. We don't have to say your name, sir, if you don't want to, but that's fine. If you want to, but go ahead, just tell us what your thoughts are.
Hey, George. Hey, you know, listening to you guys, listening all the time, love your show.
Thank you.
I'm kind of in the same situation with you. Like you said, I have, friends and family. I actually deleted my social media because I was getting a lot of messages like, hey, you don't support this, you don't support that. And it's like, no, I go out there every day and I'm doing it, doing the job the right way, doing this for 10 years. And I had to delete it. I couldn't have these intelligent conversations with these people. Like, hey, I'm on this side. I believe what everyone's fighting for. We felt that, me and my brothers and sisters, we felt that what happened was totally wrong. But no one is willing to have these intelligent conversations. Everyone's just attacking me, people that wear the badge. And we're not here for that. We're here to have open conversations. Like you said, there's different things that you can do with the city, within the community. And I was a part of this. I mentored young kids and at a local high school in the city that I worked in, and it worked out great. Now the school district didn't renew that program or whatever, but hey, for at least a year I was able to get through to certain kids in the city.
Sir, let me ask you a question. Because I said this because, sometimes I feel messaging can be a problem, right? Like I was talking about this movement, this defund the police. And I think that the title stinks. Like it's and it's funny because if you actually read the stuff that's illustrated in this proposal, it's not actually defunding the police, like getting rid of the police completely. It's about taking things off the police's plate that isn't part of the job description. For example, dealing with mental health issues, right, of people in the community. Exactly. And you guys, that stuff has been bestowed upon you. And I would imagine that stuff that if the local communities and municipalities would take that off your plate and hire people to actually worry about that aspect of it, which is important, that would be something you would welcome.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Now we have, there are certain units in our division that will go out and deal with, like, let's say the homeless. Now we're not all of us are not trained to deal with all these mental issues and stuff like that. So that we would definitely welcome that. Now you're exactly right. It should have a different title. defunding the police doesn't mean we're going to get rid of everybody. We're not, and they're not going to cut our salaries. What they're going to do is they're going to eliminate those types of programs. Now, we would welcome that, definitely.
Well, thank you, officer. Appreciate it. And thank you for being so open and honest and willing to have a discussion. Thank you.
Sí, claro, hermano. Keep up the good work. You know, listen to you every day.
Awesome. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. There you go. Stay safe, stay healthy. So there you have it. Look, we can open this up. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Also on the other side, I promise that we will talk about the Raiders because something dawned on me this weekend about the Raiders that I thought was fascinating. Also, the latest on Major League Baseball. There is a new proposal. We'll tell you what that's all about in just a moment. Stick around. We're back in 2 minutes. Sit down over here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs for protection on the road and on the water. See how much you could save in as little as 3 minutes by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or hitting them up on the website at progressive.com. So anyway, thank you to the police officer who called earlier. And I just wish we could have more of those dialogues. I just know that, look, I can't even have that with someone who I grew up with, who is a cop, like right now. And I wish that that was the case. And I think that there's a lot of people out there that are dealing with some of that stuff. And I just it doesn't mean that I'm trying to make him come my way or vice versa. I mean, clearly your beliefs are your beliefs. I just think that there needs to be at least a common understanding of just humanity. Right. And I think that that's the conversation that needs to be had. Let's go to Steve, who is also a police officer. Steve, thank you for calling. I appreciate you having the dialogue with us.
Yeah, no problem, George. Let me first tell you how cops feel about the Minneapolis incident. That thing is disgusting, okay? And I work, put it this way, I know the law pretty well, and you can argue first degree on that one because first degree requires premeditation. I'll tell you right now, when you're on someone's neck for over 8 minutes, at that point it becomes premeditated. Not only that, there's torture involved, which is a special circumstance case, which means at least here you'd be eligible for the death penalty. So that's how passionate we are of how illegal that was, okay, to begin with. Now, here's where you got it a little wrong, though, when you say about defunding. No, defunding, you know what's going to mean here? And I'm not going to name my agency, but it means a hiring freeze. It means no promotions. It means more furloughs for civilian employees, which do a lot for us. They really do. And not only that, but we're expecting the World Cup here in 2022, and we're expecting the Olympics in 2023. The agency, we're expecting a ton of retirements in the next 3 years. So do the math. It's not going to work out very well here, George.
No, I it's not an easy fix. I agree with that. Like, I'm not trying to debate you on that part of it. And what I'm simply stating is from a big picture perspective, right? It's not like the phrasing stinks. Defund the police is a dumb phrase. It's not the phrase that should be used because it's actually not what the particular proposal, at least the one that I read, actually states. But I do think that, look, there needs to be reform across the board, right? Like there's government spending, and look, I'm fairly liberal, right? But I think that there's government spending, but I'm also common sense more than anything else. I am not party affiliated more than I'm common sense. And what I would say is there's government spending across the board, okay? I'm not talking about just police now. I'm talking about in general, okay? That there are areas you're looking at like, can we tweak that? Can we move that?
Sure.
There are ways to make the math work yes, where everyone can get what is more necessary for their particular community.
Correct. And one last thing. And here's another thing. This is where I hate politics. You know, they're saying, at least, again, where I work, oh, we're going to implement these reforms, which include having body cam, which include reporting misconduct. We've been on that. We've been doing that for a couple of years now.
Yeah, almost a decade. Right. And it hasn't helped. Yeah.
Well, no, listen, it does have to help. So, I mean, the body cam is the best thing ever. I want
everything. No, that particular thing has helped. And yes, that part of it, yes.
And let me tell you something else about reporting misconduct. Listen, I've got a pension that I've worked for. You think I'm going to not say something when I see misconduct and sacrifice everything I've worked for? No. If it does happen, maybe it happens, but at a minor level. I'm telling you,
Steve,
George,
so let me ask you this, because that's an interesting point to me. You know, if you see misconduct, you're gonna report it. But why are you in the minority? It feels like.
Well, I'll tell you why. Because a lot of this non-reporting goes along with the smaller agencies. You know, when you have a big agency, I mean, there's too much at risk. I mean, when you do something, you're kind of on your own, especially now. Now, listen, when I came on in the late 80s, early 90s, it was different. It was. But now it's really changed. I mean, you've got too much to lose if you hide something. It really is. And the body cam, man, that's the greatest tool. I think every cop should have it on at every time
yes.
there's a contact, because it protects
yeah.
us.
Yeah.
That's what it does. So, and if there's phones out there, go. Tape them, too. There's nothing. I want to be completely transparent. And I think that the community deserves that.
Steve, thanks, man. Appreciate you calling in and having the discussion, okay?
No problem, George.
Stay safe, stay healthy. Let me grab, we got a lot of people who want to chime in on this. Let me get to the Raider stuff real quick, because I want to lighten it up a little bit too, but have these serious conversations. That's how we do the show. You know that. We like to have the balance here real quick. So real quick, Raider boy, I've got something for you. So I was watching Diners, Drive-In, and Dives. I like
it's a great
watching
show, by the
show.
Way.
Yes. What's it? Guy Fieri, right?
Yep.
So I like watching the show. And I came across an episode this weekend where he's a big Raider fan. So they were doing a Raider tailgate. And as I was watching this stuff, and I'm watching the cool Raider tailgates and all the different things they're doing, I'm looking at this and I'm going, good God, the Raiders are going to be a huge hit in Vegas. If they're having this kind of wildness and crazy fun in Oakland still, okay, they're going to be insane in Vegas because, and it's why they've sold more PCLs than anyone else, or than the two LA teams, that is. Hardcore Raider fans from California are going to travel to Vegas because it's a weekend trip at this point now, more than anything else. You're driving 3.5 hours, whatever it is. The locals, clearly, we know in Vegas are going to embrace them if they're any good, maybe even if they're not that good even early on. But we've seen that with the hockey team. And they're going to get a big bandwagon base because people just want to visit Vegas. Plus, the opposing teams are obviously going to make it a destination trip for their fans. There is no way that the Raiders in Vegas doesn't succeed.
It's absolutely going to succeed. Did you see what Vegas looked like this weekend when they opened up?
Yeah, I did see that. I was a little disturbed, I got to be honest, though.
Oh, no, it's very disturbing. However, that's what it's going to be like all the time for Raider games, because all those people that are going there are also going to be like, hey, let's go to a Raider game at the same time. The people in L.A. are – it's a very easy – it's about 4 hours, depending on how fast you drive from L.A., but it's – they are going to do so well. It's going to be just a gigantic boon for the NFL. That place is going to be nuts.
Yeah, it's going to be wild. It is going to be wild. I know we have a lot of people on hold that want to talk about the discussion we were having. If you missed it earlier, I was just talking about, you know, I have a lifelong childhood friend, someone I've known all my life, who is a police officer who's not talking to me right now because I've taken the stance of, you know, anti-police brutality because they feel like it's anti-police. And that's not the message. And what we were getting into was just how these messages don't get conveyed properly. And whether it's defund the police, right, or the Colin Kaepernick kneeling situation. And I think that we need to just do a better job. We need to open lines of communication, not shut them down. And it made me kind of sad, to be honest, that this person is not returning my calls or my texts. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Also, Raider fan, since we were just talking about you, how many of you are going to Vegas? Like, when are you going? Are you buying season tickets if you live here? Like, are you making it that kind of a deal for yourself? Are you finding yourself in a situation where you're just going to cherry pick some games that you're going to go to? How is this going to work for you if you're a Raider fan here in Southern California? Plus, I didn't get to the latest on Major League Baseball's proposal. We'll do that. We'll take your calls. Sedano, 710 ESPN. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Don't forget, Thank You Thursdays, presented by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. If you know someone who is a frontline worker, healthcare, man, these healthcare people. And by the way, it's not over. We're still dealing with a pandemic. If you know someone and you want to nominate them and shout them out, hit us up at ESPN LA Marketing at ESPN.com with their first, last name, city, and occupation. Or you can post a short video on Instagram or Twitter that includes the hashtag 710 Thank You Thursdays. Every Thursday, we'll interview a frontline worker and award them a $500 thank you gift that includes $200 service to Valvoline Instant Oil Change and three $100 gift cards, one to Wingstop, one to VSLiquor.com, and one to Shooteria.com. So we'll take your calls here at 877-710-ESPN. So here's the deal on Major League Baseball. I want to make this as simple as possible as I discuss this with you, okay? And Bergman, correct me if I'm wrong on anything here real quick. Basically, the first offer from the owners to the players was, hey, we'll split our revenue 50-50, which in essence, and have an 82-game season, okay? Which in essence was the players having to play the game for, play 80-some-odd games for 30 to 31% of their salary. The next option the Major League Baseball crew and the owners sent to the players was, okay, well, we'll do 50 games or 48 games or whatever, but we'll pay you the full freight for the 48 or 50 games. So we'll pay you 100% of that, but that also only equals to about 33% of their regular salary, okay? And then today's proposal that Carl Ravitch put out there from ESPN was that it was 76 games and the owners would pay them 75 cents on the dollar, so 75% of their prorated salary, which is now up to 35 or 36% of their salary. So really the owners have only moved up about 5 or 6% over three proposals. Like nothing has really changed. They clearly only want to pay them a very small amount. So if that's the case, if I'm the players, you know what I'm doing? It clearly money matters to them the most. And that's fine. Like, I'm not going to argue with you about how you feel about this. Maybe winning matters to more of them, and they're just not illustrating their point. Maybe, like we were talking about earlier, their messaging isn't ideal. However, it just feels like from the outside looking in that baseball players are more interested in money. So if that's the case, play the 48 or 50 games for 100% of your salary of 48 or 50 games and make that happen. Because I think that having a baseball season that's only 50 games is probably going to be more interesting anyway.
Yeah, so you're a little bit off on a few things. The only thing is that it's this proposal that they put out this for today was it's 50%. They're actually only doing 50% and it can go up to 75% when based on playoffs. So they're only
right. But the best case scenario is the players are still only getting 35 or 36% of their salaries.
Right. Everything's staying on average about 33%. The owners are not moving in the slightest.
Right. Only a few percentage points here or there.
Right. And I think Jeff Passan had a great thread on all of this, and he really put it into terms. And I'm just looking for basically the original offer was 82 games where the players earned just over $1 billion in salary and $200 million if the playoffs are played. And this one is it goes below $1 billion and you get $400 million if the playoffs are played.
Right.
So
they're just giving you more on the back end. Yes, that's all that's happening.
Right, that's all that's changed, and it's really – and the worst part about all of it too, and this is from Jorge Castillo of the LA Times, is it's about the health risk too. There's a revision in the operations manual that says players would have to assign an acknowledgement of risk before playing, which means that the players believe it is designed to undermine their right to challenge MLB if it fails to provide a safe working environment.
Yeah,
that's too much.
Yeah, that's a non-starter.
That's it.
Right. Here's the other thing that I saw in the Daily News. With all the financial issues that we're dealing with when talking about Major League Baseball, the Daily News is reporting that only 5 of the 28 city or county health departments overseeing places where games would be played have confirmed contact with Major League Baseball or the local team. 5 of the 28 cities where games are going to be played have talked to the health officials. What the hell is that all about?
Major League Baseball has been behind on every single
Rob
thing
Manfred
that they've
is
done.
Terrible at his job.
That's we should it. Start a fire Rob Manfred.
Well, thread. No, I'm not into firing people, but he's just bad
I
at his
am.
Job.
He's terrible at his job. There's nothing has gone right with him, especially with all this. This what they're doing here, they're thinking about pennies this year, then billions of dollars later on. It's a whole what they're going to do to the sport itself is just insanity. By taking it away, by having the whereas even if you do play that 48-game season that the owners are going to force upon the players, then you still have to go into the discussions next year into when it gets back into spring
right.
training
yeah.
and start
you're
it
back
all over
at it again.
Again.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you're back at it again. Which is, by the way, the NBA and the NHL are going to have to deal with that in their offseason too to some extent. But now, granted, because there's a salary cap, it's a little less complicated – But man, it's not. There's going to be more of this moving forward. Let's go to the phones. We've got people holding on patiently. Gil wants to join us. Gil is a veteran, I believe. Gil, thank you for your service. Thank you for taking the time to call the show and continue the dialogue. Hello, Gil.
Hi, how's it going, sir?
I'm good, sir. Thank you.
I was just calling in. I was saying, you know, the military has this policy wherever you get in trouble, not only do you get in trouble with the civilian world, but you also get punished in the military. And another thing that I think would be pretty cool with the policing to enforce is, you know, I heard that two of those guys in Mr. Floyd's death, they were just days on the job. Why not hold the training officers or the sergeants accountable? Because all that stuff has to learn somewhere. It's not like they just come in and that's what they do.
Yeah, there are some agencies. I'm not saying it's here in LA. And thank you for the call, Gil. Those are all great suggestions. And again, thanks for the service, for your service. There are some agencies across the country that use outside people to help with more training beyond just the initial phase of training. And some of that stuff needs to be looked over too. And to your point, I do think that ultimately in the military, there is see something, say something. Now, sometimes that's been controversial for other reasons too, but I'm just a firm believer of don't let someone else write your narrative. And we've had two police officers call in today, you know, who agree with that. And they understand, but their claim is that, or at least the second gentleman's claim was that in smaller agencies, that is not as easy as it is in bigger agencies. Trevor is in Riverside. Trevor, good morning.
Good morning. I just want to say I'm a longtime Raiders fan, and since I'm in Riverside, Vegas is not too far compared to Oakland, so I do plan on making a few trips to the casino.
Okay. And all right. Are they gonna have slots at the stadium? I would imagine they would, right?
They do. They have it at the liquor store, the gas station, and all that.
Well, maybe the NFL would push back on that, but I don't know. I'm curious to see if that would be the case.
It's still pretty close. And I want to say something about the police brutality. Every time I see a police officer pull up, they call for backup. Why can't they call for backup for a lethal weapon? Like, they call for a dog, they call for bomb squad, they call for SWAT. Every officer shouldn't have, you know, a lethal weapon. I've seen them using a lot of rubber bullets over the past week, and it's just like, since they call for backup anyway, I don't think every officer should have a lethal weapon.
Look, that's a much bigger discussion, and thanks for the call, Trevor. I'm not well-versed enough to have that conversation. I'm going to be honest. Like, I feel like I'm pretty well-versed, but that's one that I'm not well-versed enough to have an intelligent conversation on. So, you know, I try to keep it as real as possible here, and I will tell you what I don't know, and that's going to be one of those conversations. But thank you. Eddie is in Glendora.
Yes, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, I was hoping to talk to Stephen A. Smith, because I know he's usually in from 10 to 12, because I'm just amazed.
Sir, Stephen A. Smith, to your point, Stephen A. Smith hasn't been on in this slot in months, but go ahead.
Well, my mistake, because I was hoping he was, because as far as I'm concerned, Drew Brees basically exposed Stephen A. Smith, LeBron James, Malcolm Jenkins, and some of these other guys as being serious snowflakes. How can anybody be upset about Drew Brees' comments? Now, look at this. LeBron James obviously must agree with Drew Brees. LeBron James has played in somewhere around 1,700 NBA games. Has he ever protested? Of course not. So he basically believes the same thing Drew Brees do, believe in. Stephen A. Smith.
Well, I would disagree with that, Eddie, one second. When the Trayvon Martin situation happened, I was covering LeBron every day at that point. There was definitely a protest. They did something that no other team in sports was doing at that particular time during the Trayvon Martin situation. So I would definitely push back with never on LeBron. Is he there? Oh, okay. So you could find Stephen A. Smith. He has a Twitter account, though. Ron is in Whittier. Hello, Ron.
George, how you doing?
I'm good. And yourself, sir?
Very good. Hey, great show. Voice of the people is what it is.
Hey, thank you.
I've got two great angles, and I'm telling you, because just let me speak these two angles. The one, the Friday before this happened, I had sent an email to the Orange County Register and voiced the concern about the illegal, how they apprehend suspects, unarmed suspects.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an easy way around this. Instead of having weapons and they're shooting people with no weapons or small weapons, not guns or anything, why can't they use that netting system they use to catch wolves and stuff, wild animals, where they shoot these nets and they go over the people? It wouldn't hurt anybody. And nobody would.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not treating people like animals. Like, Ron, I appreciate the call. No. I understand your logic in regards to it wouldn't hurt anyone, but I don't even know logistically how that would even work. Just the mechanisms behind it. I mean, there's a lot of things there. On top of the very fact that you would be treating people like animals, or apprehending them like animals, would probably not go over very well. But listen, I am a firm believer that there are no dumb questions, that there are no dumb conversations, and this is why we have them. So, Ron, I appreciate it. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. We can continue these discussions if you'd like. If you want to weigh in on what the hell Major League Baseball should do, should they just take the 50 games? Would you be okay with a 50-game season? I would be okay with that in a heartbeat. Totally okay with that. I know some people may not be, because if your team gets off to a slow start, ay, ay, ay. 877-710-ESPN. And how do Laker fans feel about losing their home court advantage against the Clippers? That and the UFC, are they having some potential issues? We'll talk about it all in 3 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710-ESPN. Presented by Progressive Insurance. Brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. So, Laura, let's talk about some of these calls that just called in a few seconds ago. So, the Stephen A. Smith guy, did he ask for Stephen A.?
No, he actually said, I love George's show. So, I was like, wait, what just happened? Who got on my line? So, I think he was doing it for effect, to be honest.
Yeah. Or he clearly wanted to take a shot at Stephen A. So, yeah. Maybe that, I don't know, whatever.
I can't control people.
No, I feel you. I hear you. I was just wondering, about that guy. That seemed odd. Like, wait a second. He hasn't been on in this slot in months. Yeah. I know that sometimes people don't tune in every day, but that's a long time to not tune in and not hear Stephen A's voice and think that Stephen A is still on the radio.
And he praised you, which is the weirdest part. I mean, not weird that he's praising you, but weird that he came
and said,
hey. No,
it's also weird that he praised me, too. Yeah. No, it is. It is also weird. So anyway. Good Lord. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. So, Bergman, how afraid are you of the Lakers losing their home court advantage?
Losing the home court advantage? I still think they're good enough that it won't matter. I mean, I'm not worried about it. I'm not scared.
Whoa. What I'm saying is against the Clippers specifically, though, where they would have a legit 7-game advantage home court.
I think that every advantage helps in those situations because the Clippers are very good and the Lakers have had a tough time with them this year. And it's obvious that Kawhi Leonard is a very good basketball player where he has two finals MVPs and taken two separate teams to the championship. So it's a little worrisome, but I still think that this team is the best team. I just wanted every advantage that I could possibly have, and losing that is a bad advantage.
So let me ask you this. What worries you more? A 50-game season for the Dodgers or the Lakers not having a home court advantage against the Clippers anymore? If you had to only pick one, and you know what? I'll open it up to the phones too, 877-710-ESPN. If you could only pick one of those, which one would you pick that worries you more?
I think it's got to be the Lakers losing the home court advantage because the Clippers are right there next to them as just as good.
Right.
And the Dodgers are just far and away better than everybody else in that division.
But if they play mega divisions, then they're still probably one of the top two teams because there'll be two teams coming out of each division. Right.
Right. It's them and Houston coming out of that division. There's not really anybody else that I'm worried about. I'm not really worried about the Angels or the Rangers or anybody in the NL West.
What about the stinking cheating Astros?
Well, they'll make it through, and they'll be one of those two teams that get out, as long as it's the Astros and the Dodgers that get out.
Because, right, it would be the AL West and NL West would be playing against each other.
Right. So
in that scenario. But only over a 50-game sample, which is interesting.
And here's the other part of it, too, when it comes to that, is that the Dodgers typically have a very difficult time against the Angels head-to-head.
Right.
It happens every single year. They're just bad against the Angels. Mm-hmm. And so that could be a little bit of an issue. But I still think because of how good they are from top to bottom, how good their pitching staff is, I mean, everything about the Dodgers is better than I think any other team in baseball. Whereas the Lakers have competition, and the Clippers are a competition.
Laura, which do you feel you would be more nervous about? A 50-game Dodger season where, look, that's a small sample. It's only a third of the season, and wacky things can happen. Or the Lakers losing their home court advantage over the Clippers?
100% the Lakers. Even though I just did say earlier that I had faith, 100% the Lakers. The Dodgers are good. I ain't got no worries.
You're not worried about the Dodgers at all?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
Okay. I am curious to see how the audience would feel about it. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776.
Which would you be more worried about?
I would be... It's really tough. It's not an easy
right.
question.
No.
I honestly would be more worried about the Dodgers, and here's why. Baseball is super random, man. Like, it's more random. I still think talent wins out in the end. I still think regardless of whether the Lakers and Clippers were meeting in a regular scenario or in this scenario, it's going to be a toss-up, okay? Like, I think. So I don't think that has changed, where I think that in baseball, crazy things happen. Like, you were telling me the story in one of the breaks about an hour ago, right? The Pirates had a crazy first 50 games of the season last year where they were really good, and then they were a disaster for the last 100-plus games. So, like, that's all you need is just a random crappy team can get hot to start the season. And look, how was it 2 years ago where the Dodgers started off, what, 18-29 or something like that? Like, you can ill afford to have that kind of start.
No, and we talk about it all the time. Every year there's that team, they say, break up this team. A lot of times it's the Mariners because they start off hot and then just fall apart. But yeah, like the Pirates, I think it was 2 years ago, they were so good through 50 games and then just gone. They yeah. just, because they just weren't, they were just hot at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. By the way, I'm going to try to get Ariel Helwani on tomorrow because the UFC, before I get to the calls on which is more worrisome for you, the Dodgers or the Lakers situation. The UFC is an interesting situation. Some of their biggest stars are like at odds with Dana White at the same time, which doesn't always happen. Like he's been at odds with different fighters over time, but Conor McGregor's talking about retiring again. John Jones is like, let me out of my contract. Jorge Masvidal is telling him, let me out of my contract. I want to fight. You're not letting me fight. Henry Cejudo is out there retiring all of a sudden after a six fight streak. Like, I am curious to see how Dana, who always generally tends to overcome this stuff, overcomes all of this at the exact same time. It is something I'm curious to see. So maybe we'll have Ariel on tomorrow to discuss it. Let's go to Joe in Lakewood. Joe, what do you got?
I thought about they were going to use a B2K crowd noise at the games.
Oh, NBA 2K. Yes. At the NBA games. Yes.
Yeah. What about this? Using the team's regular crowd recordings, like say for instance LeBron is at the free throw and you can say MVP, you know, with our regular crowd.
Right.
Each team have a recording. The play.
Yeah,
maybe
they could do that. Though I would imagine NBA 2K does some of that similar stuff though.
That's
Joe.
True too, it
yeah.
does.
Yeah.
But just having that original crowd. Well, I guess they do use a recording, so.
Yeah, exactly. So I think you solved your own problem.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Okay. Got you. You guys are doing a great job. Appreciate you guys, man.
Thank you, Joe. We appreciate you as well. Have a great day. Stay healthy, stay safe. My guy Primo. Primo, where you been?
Hombre, Jorge. You know what, George? You're like kind of like me. I'm concerned about Dodger danger. I think, let me say it quickly, I think that if the Astros or the Red Sox win a pennant, the Major League Baseball should make it mandatory that they play a five-game series against the Dodgers before they can even think about going to the World Series. That's the only way to punish them a little bit and to give us some satisfaction.
That's funny.
I'm not the commissioner, but I wish he would listen.
Yeah. So are you more worried about the Dodgers in this scenario, in a 50-game scenario, as opposed to the Lakers and Clippers in a
well,
non?
I don't want to even, because I am such a Kawhi fan. I know people have all kind of things they say, and people do this better than that, and they got better handled. But Kobe got a better shot, but Jordan had a bigger hands. He can go to the rack better. And all that I thought about, but when I get into it with Kawhi, I don't know anybody. I haven't seen anybody that at the last 5 seconds of a game, fourth quarter, close game, Kawhi will do whatever. Kawhi will steal the ball, take the ball, rebound the ball, block somebody's shot, go to the glass, or hit a jump shot. I mean, Kawhi is, I just can't bet against him. I don't want to bet against him anymore. He's crazy. He's completely crazy.
Primo, I love you, brother. Be safe, okay? Please, stay healthy.
Okay. Recuerdos a todos.
Igualmente. There he is, Primo. Let me grab Nick in Laguna Beach before we get out of here. Nick, what do you got?
Yeah, let me tell you, it's all about the Lakers, man. I grew up here, and I love both teams, but you know, 50 games, that's an asterisk before it starts. And the Lakers, if they win this, whoever wins this, I contend it may be the hardest NBA championship in history to win, and it should be an asterisk. And the home court advantage is much more for the Clippers at Staples Center, because they feel you know, it's a regular routine from home when they go, even if it's a road game. The Lakers have two players better than Kawhi Leonard, both of whom are going to get more MVP votes. The Lakers were playing the best. The Lakers have the best record. The Clippers, I hope they make it to the finals, and I hope the Lakers beat them. But I think the Clippers are still the Clippers. Everyone knows the Clippers are still the Clippers, man. All right, I love you. I love your show. Thanks for being there.
All right, Nick. Take care, man. Stay healthy. Stay safe. Laura, you're taking umbrage with something that Nick said there. What are your issues there?
Okay, he said that he loved both of the teams, but where is he from? He's from the OC. So no. You're not from LA, bro. Keep it back.
So you're saying that you're not buying that he loves both teams?
No.
Because he lives in Orange County, that he could be an Angel fan in disguise.
He is 100% an Angel fan. Greg, please have my back. I mean, I know we don't agree, but
no, I got you here. OC, OC is that's Angels all the way through.
That's so
Angels, Angels,
Nick,
Clippers.
Nick is an Angel fan in disguise. Ducks. Okay.
100%. Yeah.
You're okay. From the OC. You are all about the B teams. Just how it goes.
Yep.
Whoa.
Exactly.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow. Holy Greg. Moly. That's aggressive.
I have to applaud you, Greg. I like that one.
Wow.
It's just how it goes. That's what they like.
Yikes. Yeah. All right. Thanks to the guys who called in. Thanks to Albert Breer. And Bobby Marks, thanks to Greg and Laura. We love you guys. Stay healthy, stay safe. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10. See you.